So I know you can't see me right now, but hopefully you can hear that I have got the biggest smile on my face and my heart is so full of love and gratitude for our wonderful homies who have donated to help support the show and keep it going. So I just want to read out a personal thank you to the following homies. Sarah Ryan, or it could be Sarah, S-A-R-A. Sorry, Sarah or Sarah if I've said that wrong. Caroline Hayward, Myrie Calbury. That's a cool name. I hope I said that right. Ada Kopek, another cool name. I'm not sure if it's Kopech or Kopek, but thank you very much, Ada. Gemma Taylor, Tom Vickers, Liz Temple, Monica Rigney, Lisa DeCandia, Janice McConville, and Eileen Noman. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, dear homies, for your financial contribution towards the show. I really appreciate it. And if anybody else would like to make a donation and hear your name read out on the show, you can visit eugeniekruger.com and click the donate button at the top to keep the show going. Thanks so much, homies. Enjoy the episode. Today, we speak with effervescent Australian homeopath Melissa Kupsch. Melissa also featured in episode 191 of this podcast, so do listen back on that to learn more about her origin story. Today, though, we chat about Melissa's exciting new two-year practitioner course that's starting this year in September, as well as her homeopathic clinic that she will be opening in the very near future, and so many other exciting projects that she has in the pipeline. I also just want to take this moment to say a huge thank you to Melissa. So many of you have probably heard me say this in the Facebook group, and maybe you kind of got the gist with my pleas for financial support on the podcast, but actually not many people realize how much money it costs to run a show. So at the start of the year, I was really feeling burned out and depleted and just really frustrated by how much money it's cost me to do the show. And I was looking for all sorts of ways of what I can do. Should I put it behind a paywall? What should I do? And I reached out to our Facebook community and just asked, you know, does anybody have any ideas of what I can do to just help me with the financial cost of producing the show? And I got a text message from Melissa that very next day, and she gave such a generous donation, which has single-handedly allowed this podcast to remain free to air for the near future. So thank you so much, Melissa, for your generosity. You really have a heart of gold. Now, the timing of this episode is also quite auspicious. I always schedule my episodes about 6 to 8 weeks in advance. And after our interview, I realized that I had actually scheduled Melissa's episode quite some time ago for the 1st of April. So this date is always a bit of a thorn in my side because it was the 1st of April 2019 that the Australian government stopped private health insurance companies from allowing rebates for 17 different natural therapies, including homeopathy. And you can learn more about this in the documentary Just One Drop. So I feel that by publishing Melissa's episode today, the 1st of April, it's in a way energetically sticking the middle finger to the establishment who has been trying to suppress homeopathy for so long. The reality is homeopathy will never go away. The homeopathic revolution is here right now, and we are all part of this. You, I, Melissa, and everybody else who supports homeopathy and uses it in their homes and tells their family and friends about it. You are all part of this. So to learn more about Melissa or to sign up for her practitioner course, check her out on Instagram and Facebook at That Homeopath or visit her website www.rmdycollective.org. That's remedycollective.org. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very special warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with the one, the only, the amazing Melissa Kupsch. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on again. Now we get to catch up after all of our conversations in between.
Exactly. It's so lovely to see you. And before we get cracking today, I want to take a moment. I want all the listeners to tune in because I want to acknowledge Melissa for single-handedly allowing this podcast to stay free to air for everyone. So a little bit of a personal story. People somehow think that I make money from the podcast. It's actually quite funny. I don't. Somebody said to me, don't you get paid for listens on Spotify? I'm like, no, I don't. Don't you get paid for advertising? Yeah, I've a little bit of money here and there. There's been a little bit of advertising money that's come in. But I pretty much single-handedly rely on people buying me a $5, buy me a coffee here or there. And so the podcast has been over $25,000 to produce over the last 2.5 years, which is a lot. I actually stopped counting at 25. Like, I actually refuse to count anymore because I just don't want to know how much it's actually costing in editing fees, in hosting the podcast, the hosting platform, all the software that we have to use. There's just, and paying my editor, it's just so much money. And I don't include in that the cost that it costs me of my time, taking an hour away to interview somebody that I could have had a consult and made money. So the start of the year, I got really vulnerable, which is not my favorite thing to do. And I did a post in my Homeopathy Hangout podcast Facebook group. I said to everybody, look, I don't make money out of this. Can you guys help me? Like, how can we do it so that I can continue to serve you, but that it's not actually financially crippling me? The next day, I got a text from Melissa saying, hey, Huge, send me an invoice for this very generous amount that has actually allowed this podcast to stay free to air for everybody. And I just want to say publicly, thank you so very much. You are so generous. I just want to add one more thing in there. I actually said to Mel, I will give you as much free advertising as you want. And do you know her reply? I don't need it, hun. Just take the money. I just want to support you.
For sure. And one, you're so welcome. And I said to everybody on Instagram, this is what we've put your money towards, because at the end of the day, with 68,000 people following me on Instagram, these people, they buy our education and, you know, even our products. And they're doing that with the knowledge of homeopathy that a lot of the time they're getting from the Homeopathy Hangout podcast. And so this is where, you know, they get to direct their money towards things that matter too. So in saying that, it's like, yes, we are good stewards of money, just handing it on wherever benefits homeopathy. But that's just like a really, it's a very important place. And like you said, it's always a juggle for how do we make this accessible for everybody? Also making things sustainable, you know, and even how you and I were talking about clinic spaces and how it's true that in the world at the moment, people are under a very much a financial strain. Like I can see it everywhere. People have very sick children. And if they had the money to do it, many of them would be going frequently to go and see the homeopath, you know, for all their children, for their whole family. Oftentimes they're having to prioritize, okay, who's the most important person in our family that needs help right now? And when we look at it overall, in terms of what's best for humanity in general, the whole world, it would be that every person gets homeopathic treatment, individualized homeopathic treatment. They will get stronger. They will be less of a burden on, you know, the mainstream medical system. So the amount of money that we save for that human being living in vibrant health, it far exceeds what would be put into homeopathic treatment. And at the same time, because our government system and all of the infrastructure is not set up to support healing, like at the root, which homeopathy is like the true, you know, roots healing medicine. It's like, how do we as homeopaths who know that, how do we bridge the gap and like get people in there? And I guess our idea with our clinic was let's have, you know, either certain hours of a day where we treat people for free or just one day a week where people who need it can come in and get treatment, because the other people who can afford it, you know, they pay. And then it's like, that's what keeps us going. And then we get to do the goodwill. And it's so interesting in a world where most people are taught, you know, from a young age, it just seems, you know, that the world's telling us it's like a competition, like you've got to have more money. It's like me, me, me. But what I see in these homeopathic circles is people who are so willing to help for the good of everybody. So many people want to be a part of this movement. They're just saying, how can I volunteer? How can I help? I'm here when you need me. It's like, we've got all these people waiting, but they haven't yet got the direction, like they haven't got a job that they can actually step in and do. So once we actually create that infrastructure for people to come in and actually serve, and, you know, you see it in churches, people love to feed and help people who can't help themselves at that moment. The homeopathic clinic will be the like most amazing place to do that. So I'm very excited for where things are headed in that realm.
Absolutely. We actually had a little pre-chat and Mel and I have had lots of voice messages back and forth. So I think both of us, like we've got like 50 conversations that we actually want to make sure that we get through today. So let's just start actually with the homeopathic clinic that you're going to be setting up. Do you want to talk to our audience a bit about that? I mean, most people that are going to be listening to this will know, but there are going to be loads of people who won't know. So just tell us about what it, and once again, you know, you have got such an incredibly successful business on top of you single-handedly making homeopathy sexy again. I love that part of it.
I love that.
Not that old fuddy-duddy, you know, 70-year-old man sitting in his little musty little clinic. We're making homeopathy sexy, baby. Come along. Come join the ride. Come along in the revolution. It's not like it's here now. It's been really nice hearing you talk about creating a homeopathic revolution. I've been talking about that for years, to hear somebody else say that as well. And it's not heading that way. It's here. It's like right now. It's here. And talking about being such a good steward with the money, you've had such incredible success with your courses that you've offered. But it's not like you're sitting on your laurels. That money is actually going into this clinic that you're creating. So just talk to us about this clinic.
So the fantasy, you know, when I finished in my homeopathic studies is, wouldn't it be amazing if the homeopathic hospitals came back? I used to read the history books. I'd be reading the letters between Hahnemann and the other homeopathic followers. And I used to feel this sort of sensation of almost like grief inside me that like I'd missed the boat on that time. I was like, oh, I wish I had been able to work in these places. Because when I graduated, you know, say 8-9 years ago, it's like homeopaths largely are quite isolated. That community that Hahnemann used to have people over on a Sunday afternoon and they would talk cases and maybe smoke some cigars and whatever they're doing. But I was like, oh, I wish that that was in my lifetime. And so in the last couple of years when, you know, I had a break to have children and then I've started to get into more full-time practice and really getting things going, it's been, let's recreate that. Like, why can't we have that again? And so it started with the homeopathic education. I started to get to the point where I was booked out nearly 6 months in advance. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't want people waiting that long to see me. So then I started referring out and I've just got like a little network of people that I say, okay, try this person. And then before long, they're all fully booked out. And I started to see we can teach people a lot of things themselves. And then that sort of progressed into, okay, let's do a homeopathic qualification. So that's what we're launching at the end of this year in September. And that's an advanced practitioners of homeopathy course. And so that's sort of like a 2-year, it's like a 3-year equivalent because we're doing it in the trimesters. So we designed that one with Dr. Jean Duckworth and Peter Berryman, who Peter's been my mentor, just brilliant, passionate. The conversations I have had with him over the years, and he really took me under his wing, even as a student. You know, he's the reason I found homeopathy. I've always felt, you know, like I owe him so much of my success because of the things that he has taught me, even about, you know, potency, posologies, these things that I never learned in a university. So yeah, doing this with Peter and Jean is very exciting. And so we have nearly 500 people who are signing up to do like a full homeopathic qualification who want to, you know, be part of this revolution. With everything that's gone on in the world the last couple of years, I think it's obvious that we need change. It's the end, really, I think, of the true pharmaceutical era where people just didn't ask questions. At the moment, we're seeing sort of the falling out of all of those practices, like the routine prescription of antibiotics. We're just realizing, whoa, but what else can we do? So that's sort of the conundrum that half the world is in. They can see the shortcomings of the current system, but they have not yet found homeopathy. And that's where we come in to really bridge that gap and just like, here we are, like we're vibrant, we're healthy, we're excited, we're ready to help you. And we want to support as many people as possible in their chronic and complex health conditions, their acute first aid things. I mean, a well-managed acute can mean massive improvements in your long-term chronic health. So the foundational things that we can teach at home, absolutely sharing that knowledge with all the parents and individuals, then having enough practitioners to actually take on the patients. In a dream world, if we could imagine having as many homeopaths as we do medical doctors, the whole world would completely transform in not only our physical health, but also just the way we live with each other. Do you know what I mean? All of these distortions of energy that have people doing cruel or, you know, just awful things, like just nasty. It's like as we all heal ourselves and all the children coming through, everything would transform. And so with all of that training that we've been doing, something that I've been finding is that people want sort of like a bricks and mortar. And I always wanted it like a brick and mortar place to come, to gather, to actually be with real people and to sort of learn in that setting as well. And I found I learned a lot by going to the Woodford Folk Festival. I used to volunteer when I'd graduated at Endeavor, and I learned so much in that 1 week of sitting in on cases with Peter, I learned like just so much. And to be able to offer that to people, that would be the goal. So the place where we are looking at purchasing now, it's halfway. So I'm sort of up towards the sunny coast. Peter's in Brisbane. There are a lot of homeopaths actually around us. And we want it to be halfway, a halfway meeting point so we can all come and work there together. So, you know, it's 15 rooms and yeah, a place where people can come and do an internship and just be amongst it, have the conversations, physically see how we're making our remedies, dispensing, labeling, doing all those things, and having people from the public being able to walk in the clinic space that we're looking at getting. It's in quite a, it's perfect location. And the way it came about finding this place is again, another story unto itself, but it seems like it's really just a meant to be sort of thing. So, you know, we're looking at probably with this year, we will have that secured. It does need a facelift, but it's just that fantasy, right? Like I see it in my mind, like homeopathic hospital. I know I can't call it a homeopathic hospital. It's actually very close to another mainstream medical hospital in the suburbs. So that then is also brilliant because, you know, people can come to us with all of their issues. Worst case, we will just take them up the road, you know, to the actual hospital and be like, this is a case where you need this, but they might have tried their absolute best with us. I say a great majority are going to be healed, you know, coming through our doors. So, I mean, we've got students who've studied with us just a little bit already, but who are doing this 2-year course, and they are coming from America with their kids for the chance to work in this environment. And that's how much it means to people to be part of a community. And so our goal is to get that sort of sustainable clinic going. Yep, we'll treat the poor one day a week. Anybody who can't afford homeopathic treatment, we just have an open door policy. Everyone can come on that day. So once we get that model down, that's when you sort of want to go, okay, where else? Because you don't want it to just be, well, I'm in Queensland. But I mean, people have started relocating their families to be up near here. I know of a couple people already, but we can't all move to Queensland, right? You want one in every state, sort of every community. And I do think that the future is local. I guess that's a really big thing to me. And you see that through COVID. When things get shut down, you know, what would happen if you just couldn't ship your remedies internationally anymore? I mean, we can see that already with the EU. We've got great difficulties. You want to have a homeopath in every community with a big dispensary so that when somebody needs something, go over to their house, get to know your local homeopath, let your family know them, and just, you know, I treat people like everybody, you know, in the Middle East, in Lebanon, and like anywhere around the world. We can even get remedies into Bosnia at the moment, but it's like, that's not long term. I just don't think that's the best practice for us to be shipping around the world. Like, you know, meet your own network in real life and build that. So that is really where we are headed with that.
Oh, I've got a gazillion things to unpack from all of that. Firstly, poor Matt, he's just finished renovating your house and now you're purchasing this building. I'm sure he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's me who's out. So my sister Ash, she is like our operations manager. She does all of the back end of our business and she loves all of the interior design, and her husband is a draftsman. So they do a lot of the design. So he designed our house now, like we gutted and renovated, but all of the tile selections, the paint colors, I was like, guys, that is going to be you. That is all you. I am not picking another tile, and I trust their like beautiful style. And it's also really helpful, you know, because town planning and all of the actual logistics behind it, it's like you need enough car spaces. The business needs to be like in the sort of perfect business district. It's like all these things that as a draftsman, he's used to going through all of these processes. So I can see the emails, you know, in my inbox coming back and forth between them and just making sure everything's perfect before we really launch on it. But yeah.
Amazing. You certainly, and you know, I think most of our listeners will know that your dad's a medical doctor as well. And it just seems like the universe has just created and just held this whole event, which is just so incredible. And I don't know how many of our listeners will know that Australia used to have 5 homeopathic hospitals. They were closed down around the 40s, 50s, but there was 2 in Tasmania and then 1 in Melbourne, Sydney and
Adelaide.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, Adelaide.
South Australia.
Yeah.
There was one in South Australia.
I know there was 5 in total. And not many people know that. And this is my little list of things that you were chatting about. I just made a couple of notes, but you know, you're talking about people that are ready to help. And I was listening to a podcast with Joe Rogan this morning and Dr. Phil, and they were talking just about, since smartphones came in, that people are so addicted to it. And, you know, we check our phones 350 times a day, and that depression and anxiety has skyrocketed the highest it's ever been in recorded history. Personally, I have always said, and I think this is why I've never suffered from depression, because I always probably too much focus my attention on other people, helping other people. And I think that is literally the cure for depression, is stop putting the focus on yourself and see who is out there that you can help. Go out there, help somebody else. I really believe that is the focus for depression. Yeah. And we were, before we start recording, and I don't want to go too much off topic, but I'll try and keep notes here so we kind of finish all our conversations, because we don't have like a thousand half finished conversations. But I think so many homeopaths out there as well, Mel, that they get too worried about what others will think about them. They get analysis paralysis. They don't actually, they get in their own way. But I think you and I have both been successful in our own way, because we are focusing our attention on helping people, not on ourselves, what will people think of us. Like, we just get out there and we just do it, and we focus on helping others. And that is actually the cure also for anxiety, I think, is take the focus off you. It's not about you. It doesn't matter what you sound like, doesn't matter what you look like. Get the information out there. Focus on helping somebody else. There is something that you could say or that you could do that, and this is why I love podcasts. You never know who's going to listen, that's going to hear that one little thing that you have to say today. You might talk for an hour, 2 hours. That person might not resonate with anything. And then you say one single thing that does a paradigm shift for them, that changes things for them. Mm-hmm. And you never know when that's going to be. You know, I'm sure you have had this. I've definitely had it when people have messaged me and said, Eugenie, you said something 10 years ago that made me not vaccinate my kids. And I am so grateful for that, because they are so healthy now. And I see my friends' children who are vaccinated to the hill who are chronically sick. Or they'll say, you said to use Cantharis for UTI. You know, I've had a history of using antibiotics. Since I found Cantharis, it's made the big difference. And it might be like an Instagram live you do, or a post you do, or something you say, or you never know when you're going to make, do something that's going to really help somebody. So for the homeopaths listening, get out of your own way, go out there and help somebody. For people suffering from depression, get out of your own way, see who you can help. If it's at, what are you passionate about? Do you enjoy animals? Go help at the SPCA. Go, you know, foster a dog, or, you know, go out there and help somebody.
And I think it's also, whenever I have been sort of wondering with my direction, you know, what do I want to do? It's the revelation that this is so much bigger than me and my life and my business and anything like that. This is a sort of humanity at stake. When you look at the rates, yes, of anxiety and depression, they're through the roof. You look at fertility, we're on a solid decline. And when you really put that in perspective, I've always said to myself, I've got nothing to lose. Like, but as humanity, you know, we have everything to gain. If we follow the trajectory that we are on, we're looking at the sixth mass extinction event, and that's just a reality. That's based in like scientific fact. That's where we're at. And so we know that we need massive change. And as homeopaths, each and every one of us know, we sort of have the golden ticket. We've got the next like system of medicine that could truly support this world through this transition, get us healthy again, get us vibrant, fertile, all of the things. And so absolutely. And that giving back nature, it's just, I think that that is at the core of human nature. People say that, you know, or greed or competitiveness, you know, survival of the fittest. I think that's more of an indoctrinated programming. When we go back, so my husband is Aboriginal, and when I read some of their texts back then, what it was like when they were originally invaded, you know, and these people have come and they're looking like they're going to attack. But to a lot of the Aboriginals who were there, their first thought was, you guys look hungry and like your horses look thirsty, like come with us, like we'll get you a meal. They had no concept at that time about what was about to happen. And you see it, you know, with the African kids where like they break open a watermelon and these kids have been starving, and their first thought is share it out like with everybody. I think that is human nature. It's not human nature to steal and hoard and protect. All of that, you know, this sort of hoarding nature, hoarding health, people who want to stack up lots of investment properties, I think that's all fear driven. But if we want the world to really progress, like to like heaven on earth, and when I think to myself, what do I want more than anything on earth? What do I want really? I want to be like connected. That's what makes me happy with like my community. And I want my kids to grow up in a, like a safe, healthy, beautiful place around friends who are also happy. So it's like my investment in the other children of the world. It's like, that's really important. Like these might be my daughter-in-laws one day. These are my children's friends. So the health of your children, like that matters to me, you know, I guess even in a self-interested way, like I want everybody around us to be happy, thriving, all of that, you know, and it's everything, even beyond good health. It's like you want good marriages, you want good friendships, you want safety and joy. And because all of those things have been eroding, you know, over the last couple of years and decades, really, but we really saw an exponential like isolation, separation, people moving towards their phones. The increase, the fact that most, what percentage of children, I know my dad gave me a statistic that was scary, that in his practice, the number of children who are on anti-anxiety meds or antidepressants and they're just not coping. It's like, what world are they going to inherit? Like, and I just feel like for us with the wisdom to know that there is a solution, we've got to be bold and lead the way. And like you were saying, with sometimes people hear just that one thing and it sets them on a healing trajectory of something they never contemplated before. I think as homeopaths, sometimes for myself, I think when I'm about to say something, I think, oh, but surely everybody knows that already. Do you know what I mean? Or I've said this before in another capacity. But the truth is that for many people, it's the first time they've come across me or any of these things and they say, whoa. And I'm like, whoa, I can't believe people are still starting to realize even that like mental and emotional aspects contribute to disease. And you see all these puzzle pieces like start to click in for them. And as a homeopath, I would say just whatever it is that you're thinking, yeah, just put it out there. It's always, I think, God-given when something's on your heart. And I've learned over the years, even when it's something random, something obscure that I'm like, oh, why would I upload that? I listen to it now and I just go, someone needs to hear it. I'll just like say that simple thing or I'll make this simple video. Yeah, but absolutely feel that.
I just love chatting with you. I just realized my tissue box is empty, which I'm a bit annoyed about because I'm just alternating between like teary and goosebumps the whole time we're talking. But as we kind of, we haven't talked enough about the hospital. So I'm just going to put the hospital, like there's more questions I have around that and about the course. But while we're in this space, I just want to talk about, you talked about hoarding, about that scarcity mentality and about, I feel so much of that is still in the homeopathic community. Us amongst homeopaths, we are so quick to bring each other down and to criticize each other. But I'm feeling this incredible movement that's happening with female homeopaths, male homeopaths there as well. We happen to be a bit dominant at the moment, but female heavy as an industry. I hope we get many more males because a lot of, I'd only treat women and children. So the males, I often refer to male homeopaths and there's not that many of them to refer. I hope we get more, but I guess because it's a matriarchal energy to work collaboratively, but I'm seeing more of us female homeopaths working together and bringing each other up and raising each other up and working together because technically you and I should be competition because we both sell products, right? I mean, we do our own thing, but we're not. We're supporting each other. We're promoting each other. We're working together. And the result of that has actually been beautiful for both of us. So when I posted thanking you for the podcast, that you supported the podcast, there were so many people that emailed you and said, thank you. Thank you. We need the podcast. And so, you know, there's that beautiful collaboration. And I think we are then putting this example forward that it's okay for women to raise each other up and to work together. We're not each other's competition. We're each other's allies. And I'm finding that, so, like with Lisa Strebeck, she has her own podcast. So technically we should be competitors, but we're not. You know, I've been getting my Healy through her and learning it through her from that. We've been on each other's podcasts. I've been promoting her book. She's promoting my podcast. We are just working together. And like, you know, and Danitza and Janie and Sarah Valentini, like, we're all working together and lifting each other up. And I hope that other homeopaths see that and are inspired by it and realize that this is what it should be. We are all working towards a common goal. We've got like 8 billion people on this planet. We are not each other's competition. And it's good that we work in different ways and don't break another homeopath down ever for the way that they practice, even though it's not the way that you would do it. But there's so many different people. They all need different ways of approaching a case, different personalities, different ways of doing things. So lift each other up. I had a homeopathic student tell me the other day, she's like, Eugenie, I am terrified to qualify because everything I see online in the homeopathic groups are homeopaths tearing each other down. And I'm so glad to see you working collaboratively with other homeopaths, because that gives me hope. And I'm like, well, I really hope you're going to see more of that, more of us working together and raise it, because it's all for the, like, this whole scarcity mentality, the crabs in a bucket tearing each other down. It's just so horrible.
And even the different ways of prescribing that you were talking about, I've noticed a massive shift in people who maybe once they were trained in a certain way, you know, maybe give one remedy once and then wait 6 weeks, you know, and no dosing. And then these people are sort of trying new protocols, trying new things and going, whoa, wait a minute. And so people are, I think these days, a lot more open to everything. And in any course that I ever teach, there is a real emphasis on this is one way, and keep your mind open to, like, different protocols will suit different times. Because what I've seen, you know, whether it's some people who just use like Sankaran's method, it's like we are all getting success in our own ways of doing it. And maybe you are just attracting the specific patients to you that are, you know, suited for you to help them. And there's just so much value in all of these different approaches. So I am very much like, you know, keep your mind open, because there will be different ways. And as a practitioner specifically, you've got to see it with your own eyes. What actually works? What results do you actually get? And weigh it up. Don't always rely on maybe how you originally learned it 10 years ago, you know, because things are different. Like, things change and evolve, and so will your prescribing. I know I prescribe so differently to how I would have, you know, in student clinic or like even as a fresh graduate. This is like every year I feel like you completely evolve, because, well, you might find, you know, new remedies that have been released, and it might be like, wow, that really helps. Or just a new prescribing technique. You might recognize something more in your patients. Definitely since COVID, there are certain blocks that people like we're really trying to undo. So yeah, definitely get all of that. And then in regards to homeopaths around the world, I feel like we're all starting to see the bigger picture. And that is, we come together and we build something great, or we can be like, you know, the homeopaths however many decades ago, you know, in that book, The Faces of Homeopathy, I think Julian Winston, I think, is the author. And that's one of my favorite books ever, going through all of the history of homeopathy. But it's so interesting, because so often people think that it was the external people that really sort of like shut us down and suppressed us. And yes, there has been an element of suppression, but in many ways, it was the homeopaths fighting. It was the in-house fighting, people disagreeing on, you know, what should be taught, how it should be taught. And then we just couldn't agree to disagree. There was more men based back then, just in the examples specifically that I'm thinking of. But just these days, I just don't think, yeah, there's just no need for it. You know, homeopathy is the key that we have here. And then in regards to the hoarding, one thing that I really have contemplated over the years is the ways in which a lot of people, you know, said they talk down about the Rockefellers, and they say they're so greedy, they hoard all this wealth for their family, and they, you know, they suppress and they do all of these other things. And then when it gets to natural medicine, in some ways, it could be exactly the same thing. Like, people just want to hoard and keep for themselves. And so people talk down about it, but it's another thing that it's interesting to see, how would you act actually if you had millions of dollars? A lot of people like to think that they would be generous and they would share it. But in truth, money is a really hard one. That, you know, you see it with pastors all the time, of churches, all of a sudden all this money's coming through, and next minute, you know, they've got their private like jets and things. And it's like, people can get lost in money. But where I come from is that I believe having money, being successful, especially in the hands of people who understand the big picture, that is power. That is change. That is creating systems that actually benefit humanity and will see us through. And because you do need a certain level of money to create these things. And that's all I see money as. It's like, this is the energy. This is what I need to like create this space. That's what I'm going to have. And yeah, I just think, like, God knows, when you are doing something for the benefit of others, it's so easy, and you keep that energy on it. It's like, it's for all of us what we're creating. So that's just my thoughts on that.
So glad you mentioned that, because what's one of my gripes with homeopaths, and it was, you know, maybe a couple of months ago, I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I saw a post in a group, and it was, they said, who's the richest homeopath or something like that? And there was a few things, and then so many comments, but you know, they kind of left it open. So it could be rich in like knowledge or rich in money, but everyone took it kind of as rich in money, but quite several people on there commented, true homeopaths don't have a lot of money. Like the true healers do it for free. And it's like, would you ever say, oh, that doctor, that specialist, that surgeon must be great because he's got no money. He must be amazing. You would never say that. You would be like, that guy's got a effing huge house and has a Ferrari. He must be really good. I'm just saying the mentality that us as homeopaths, not just homeopaths, but healers in general is that person, you know, if you're doing it for the true reason of healing, then you don't have money. But it's such a weird concept because money is just energy and it's what you do with the money that really counts. And like you said, you couldn't go and purchase that building if you weren't successful. If you were a struggling homeopath, you know, spending all your energy trying to find clients, how would you create what you're creating now? You couldn't. And that's why as a profession, I wish we could just get over this mental block. And, you know, that is really like a whole podcast in itself, but it is. And I also probably get triggered by it because that was my mentality for so long. And there's like, I've had so many breakthroughs the last few years. Like I was that person that's like, never use combination remedies. Don't use Narayana remedies. Don't use radionics machines. And now I'm doing all of it and I'm loving it and I'm having success with all of it. And so, you know, so now I am so careful of making any judgment calls. I, you know, saw a homeopath the other day that gave somebody a remedy that had literally 50 ingredients in it. And I'm like, oh, well.
I wonder if it works.
Yeah. I'm just reserve, you know, I have feel that rising up. I'm like, no, Eugenie, just remember all the other times that you've said these things and then, you know, have done it. But that's something I would love for us because you're right. The money is better in our hands. We are doing, it's so much better in our hands than it is in Big Pharma's hands because we are actually healing people. We not like creating lifelong drug dependent zombies.
And I say to all my practitioners, you know, why should, let's say, a doctor be making $500,000 a year when you are actually contributing far more to the health of these people? So I think it's, we can have our cake and eat it too. We can live like a beautiful little life and bless others. I think that's absolutely the nature of it. And what it comes down to is not a desire. Most people don't really desire money in and of itself. What they desire is freedom. They want to not have to worry about the bills. They want freedom to like live the life that they want. And some people, you know, you can live a life of freedom very humbly and happily with not much money and you can feel absolutely free and abundant. So it's just cultivating that feeling within yourself. So yeah. And then whether you have money or not is sort of, it really doesn't matter. Mm. But when we tie the emotions to money of like, you know, it's like what tied to our significance or our worth, that's where we're led astray. And for most people who think that way, they probably grew up in, you know, financial struggles or, you know, whatever it was that they really have this desire for money itself. I've just seen and I've worked with so many people who have millions upon millions of dollars. It does not make you any happier. At the end of the day, we all come into this world. We all leave this world. You're not any more secure. So it's just, yeah, money's just money, just energy.
I also want to have a chat with you, but and this kind of all ties in with a lot of this, like people wanting to hoard things for themselves. Because I will never forget, I interviewed somebody in the podcast that I really admire. And after, you know, the record button stopped and pressed stop, they said, oh, I don't believe in those, you know, a homeopathy at home courses that teach mums how to use remedies. If you have a problem, you should call your homeopath. And I was actually so flabbergasted because I didn't expect it from this particular person. And so I actually didn't know what to say. I'm like one of those people that afterwards I think, oh, I should have said this. But I was just so flabbergasted. I was like, I just don't understand it because we need to, I don't want somebody calling me at 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning saying my child has an ear infection. That mum needs to be empowered to know what to use. Jess, I've got this client in Canada and she told me she's, because I did encourage her to see a homeopath locally because with the time zones and getting remedies, it's too hard. So she did get in touch with a homeopath locally and he only prescribes, he doesn't tell her what he's giving his son with seizures. So she gets little white pills in a bag and she doesn't know what it is and she's got to give it and blindly trust it. And that's one of my other gripes is that, you know, you're not empowering that person to use homeopathy for themselves. But one of the things that I'm like, I feel like I keep learning and evolving. And that's what I love about life. I love it when I get challenged and I, you know, have to overcome these things. One of the things I'm struggling with at the moment is how much can we get home prescribers to use themselves? So your for her remedies, obviously been hugely successful, which is a nosode, which I do kind of believe all of us should take anyways, you know, the remedy made from estrogen. And with all the xenoestrogens in the environment, all of us having been on the contraceptive pill at some stage with rare exceptions, it's a remedy that all of us could use. And you posted about oxytocin the other day, and I was like, damn, Melissa, because I had all these hundreds of emails of people saying, can I have oxytocin? Can I have oxytocin? And then I'm like, just in this funny place of like, how much access can I give the general public to remedies? Like, how much damage can they do? And then, you know, I can't recall if you put it on your stories or if it was from of our PMs that we had back and forth. But, you know, you were saying, you know, people can overdose on Panadol. You can go buy Panadol over the counter and go and overdose on that. You literally cannot die from an overdose of homeopathic remedies. So I'm going to put that all out there. And I want to hear your version of how much, this is all part of that expansion mindset, right? Do we keep some of the remedies for ourselves and you have to have a consultation to have it prescribed? And a part of me is thinking it kind of also gives homeopathy some legitimacy if there are some remedies that we kind of keep as prescription only. Do we come from that mindset or do we just let everybody loose? Buy whatever remedies you want. What are your thoughts?
I think for me, it's can they do it justice? Like, can they pick the right remedy? If we let them just use any remedy that they want, if they're able to buy like sifalinum, carcinosin and be getting to the depths of things. So like one, the ones that can cause a real healing aggravation, I don't like to give like, you know, just that I think it's too deep. But that for me actually even includes, say, sulfur, only because I've seen a handful of cases where the person has a long history of suppression and then they are covered head to toe and they weren't expecting it. They thought this is a simple little holistic medicine. And then for some of them, you know, girl, and she's working with another homeopath now, but it was just an Instagram message and she showed me the photos and it's like her skin is peeling off. I was like, whoa, but it was full on, you know, suppression. So yes, that is a healing response. Yes, her vital force is like getting stronger in doing that. But I just think we've got to guide people through. The same goes with things like steroid detoxes. They can be really heavy and aggravating. I had a message on Instagram once from somebody who'd bought Aurum Metallicum from an online pharmacy. And then they were having like massive, deep, dark things going on. I said, you need to contact either your homeopath. And they're like, I don't have one. And I'm thinking, where did you get this? And it was, you know, it shocks me sometimes what is available online and especially overseas. You know, there are pharmacies that are open for people to buy anything that they want with no training whatsoever. And I wasn't actually aware of that until recently. And I was like, wow. So it's like, it's a catch 22. The only reason that I hold back on anything is because I don't want you to get extremely uncomfortable or I don't want you to self-prescribe, take a remedy that isn't the true similimum or even close to, have a bad experience of homeopathy and then write it off. So for me, I would always encourage them, you know, really try and see a homeopath. So I teach as much as I can. And I also am very much trusting of the intelligence of the people that I am working with. I think so many people have wisdom and insight into themselves that, you know, even the practitioners sometimes don't see. So when you've taught about something and they were really resonating, they're like, I would just like to try that remedy. Oftentimes I don't see any harm in trying something, you know, simple sort of like that. Certainly in a first aid situation, you know, with all the standard ones. Then, so say, for example, folliculinum, that was my one where I was like, I said to Ash, just get a limited number because I want to see how this goes. Now I've got a private group where people can access me. So they get sort of training and understanding of like, what is this remedy? Why would we use it? When would we, you know, potentially stop? So it's like trusting people, but the amount of pregnancies alone from that remedy. And I noticed it too. Every now and then I do a giveaway on Instagram or an affiliate will do a giveaway and they might have won one of the bottles of For Her in that time. And with those giveaways, three of the people from just those giveaways alone, I mean, I haven't done that many giveaways, maybe five giveaways, three of them conceived after a long time of trying. And so I'm always weighing up in my mind the benefit of allowing people's body to like get that stimulation, you know, with the homeopathics and then avoid IVF, which a great majority of people, they are on the track to getting that. They'll often give me 6 months. If I'm not pregnant in 6 months, I'm going to go to IVF. But also just educating them that, hey guys, this is one remedy that might help your hormonal situation and stimulate some balance. But there are about five, you know, there are so many other remedies purely in fertility. If not, you know, hundreds to choose from that might fit your vital force. And there is no way around it. It's individualized medicine. You need a practitioner. Most people, when they understand that, they might be happy, say, to try folliculinum. And yes, they might see, okay, the cervical mucus has changed. Wow. You know, and that is a very obvious change for the great majority of women who try folliculinum. So then they go, wow, I know this stuff works. I am happy to book in with a practitioner and try and unravel and unpack, you know, the depth of, you know, miasmatic prescribing and the sort of things that we need to really clear out there, maybe even some vaccine detoxes and stuff like that. So for me, it's, can I safely look after anybody who buys anything from me? But then, you know, if you were to ask me, do I think that it's wrong that there is an online pharmacy that sells absolutely everything to anyone? Look, by and large, I don't, because when I compare the gentle nature of homeopathy and what we can achieve, the ways in which people can heal themselves versus just what is lining our grocery stores, nobody, you know, wonders like or worries about, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, they'll just sell a packet of Panadol to like a 12-year-old who's like at the checkout and just buying it. That's reckless. It's dangerous. It's poison. You know, all these things. We're trusting like, that the person's going to be responsible, like with the dosing, that they're going to seek help if they need it under the instructions. So I guess I'm probably more on the liberal side, maybe, of not saying that most, you know, not that everything needs to be a consult, but yeah, just really letting them know you're going to get the best treatment with a homeopath, because it's not just the remedy. It's the whole process of unpacking, understanding yourself. The therapeutic relationship, I think, is half of the healing, having somebody to walk the journey with you. So we're irreplaceable, you know, as homeopaths. But yes, when we do look out there into this like big wide world and we realize there are millions of people, and I guess I've been overwhelmed by the people seeking me, that I'm just firing off everywhere, like, check out here, go to this person, go. And I'm sort of, I feel like a bit of a master network in some ways, just sending people out, which is brilliant, you know, for the homeopaths who want a busy, thriving clinic. But I am big on empowering people as much as possible. I think people are much smarter and safer and more responsible than they're given credit for sometimes.
I completely agree. I resonate absolutely on every level with what you've just said, is that number one, they can't possibly do as much damage with homeopathy as they would with the
phone. Let me tell you this story. Somebody bought a strep nosode from you, and she had an infection inside her nose, really bad for a long time. She was on the brink of taking antibiotics, and she'd spoken to someone just in our online community group who is sort of like a student practitioner, but had said, you know, they'd swabbed it or something and it was strep. And someone just sort of said, have you tried the strep nosode? So she got the strep nosode. She took it, she broke out in a rash, and she was like, whoa, what is this? Is active strep? Anyway, she completely healed. The nose healed up perfectly. So then here we have somebody who's probably now signing on to study homeopathy somewhere because of what it's just done for her. And you have to think, you know, is it that dangerous? What can possibly happen with that? And then the person, the support person is there. So when the rash broke out, she's thinking, whoa, do I have an active strep infection? I know she reached out to you immediately. She was hooked up with a practitioner. And so then, you know, you can go from there as needed. I think as long as people have somewhere to go to get support and ask a question homeopathically, I think that's pretty. And yeah, that's how I feel about it.
I feel the same. And, you know, I've got my Facebook community as well. And so I think anybody in our groups, you know, they have that support there. It's like a couple of thousand of us that if you have something that happens, they've got that support. And like you say, that really is the big thing. I do think just having a relationship with a homeopath really is so incredibly important, because some of these remedies, it can bring up all sorts of ancestral stuff, all sorts of aggravations. And like I said, it's never going to kill you like pharmaceutical medication. Like nobody's ever died from homeopathic remedies in 250 years of use. But there can be uncomfortable stuff that comes up that if you have a professional to talk you through what's happening, then it really is just so much safer. So,
and you think, like, what if somebody's taken a remedy like Staphysagria, right? And all of this like anger is coming up to the surface.
They divorce their husband.
Exactly. You know, and you think of the turmoil. when maybe all they needed was like a true like conversation to understand, hey, this anger is possibly not from this situation. This might be from something historical in your life, and helping them navigate things appropriately. I think that responsibility, we just have to let people know about what healing looks like too. Mm. But the more parents who understand this and they are seeing it in action, they would never go back to the old way because they've experienced it. They no longer want to suppress it. So we, you know, I think in our ideal, you know, future, there would be a local clinic everywhere that people can go in, they can have the relationship, they can get their remedies. In an ideal world, people would probably get, you know, a homeopathic consultation. Imagine if the government funded this, you know, everybody gets a homeopathic consultation, just one every 6 months for health maintenance ongoing. We would save trillions of dollars of debt that we pretty much just pay, line the pockets of people who make drugs and imaging. And that's the thing, drugs aren't necessarily the most profitable aspect anymore of it. It's these the MRIs, the CT scans, all of these tests that people are having to go through. They are big money makers. But how much we could sidestep that whole system if we really put the health of humanity first. And that's what it comes down to. Now, since we are not actually likely to get that support from the top, here we are as homeopaths doing our best to spread our message far and wide, to have as many people join our ranks and get in on the movement, so that people know that they've got options, they're not backed into a corner when pharmaceuticals fail. And that's how I think we actually turn things around. But we certainly, you know, for you and I think it's like looking bigger and looking out and like the reach, you know, and we're lucky that like online and through your podcast, your reach is huge. Like people can just, they can hear, they can listen, they can be learning so much.
I just desperately want to talk more about your clinic and about the course that you've got going, but I have one more thing that I just want to squeeze in here, only because you've mentioned this about the government-funded stuff. On the 1st of April, and the date just grinds me because it's April Fool's Day, the 1st of April 2019, the government told our health insurance companies that they're not allowed to give rebates for 17 different natural health modalities, homeopathy being one of them. And the lovely Jerry Dendrinos has done so much work around all of that after the NHMRC botched report. And you can go and watch the documentary, Just One Drop, or listen to episode 2 of this podcast where Jerry explains all of that. And Mel and I were having a little chat a little while about how do we get our ability back to claim from our health insurance policy, to claim from homeopathy? Because the crazy thing that happened is none of us had a deduction in our private health after that. You still had to pay the same amount, but suddenly you couldn't claim for 17 natural health therapies, which was really annoying. So I personally would like to see that back. And like you, Mel, we had this conversation. I've maybe once had somebody ask me, do you offer private health? Same as in 10 years, I've had one person ask me about my qualification. And I don't think of anybody ever asked me if I'm registered with a homeopathic organization. You just don't get asked that. People come to you because it's word of mouth, because you've healed their friend from their incurable disease. That's why they come to you. They don't care if they can get a rebate, who you studied with, or if you are registered with a body. That's the reality, right? But Mel and I were both like, we are so busy with so many other things. I would personally like to see the general public rise up, take on the government, and get our health insurance rebates back for homeopathy so that those of you with health insurance can claim on homeopathy. So us as homeopaths, working our butts off right now, healing people in the aftermath of COVID, we do not have the time. You, as a general public listening to this right now, need to get your butts off your chairs and go and speak to your local MP. Do whatever it needs to take to get your healthcare rebates back. Just like Paola Brown, you know, I always thought she was a homeopath because she knows so much, but she is just a mum, not just a mum. She is a mum, a fierce mama bear. She's not a homeopath. She is a mother who just knows a lot about homeopathy, who decided it's not on that homeopathy is getting attacked from all Latin girls in America. And she created Americans for Homeopathy Choice and has done all these things and has been to all the, what's the TGA equivalent?
FDA.
FDA. Gone to all those meetings, sat in on all those meetings, got lawyers on board. Mm. She is a mum who has decided, you are not taking homeopathy away from me. I will stand up and fight. And she's got 100,000 people on a mailing list, probably more now, that's fighting with her. So Aussies listening to this, get your butts off your chairs and go and fight back because your health insurance company hasn't given you any discounts, even though you can't claim for 17 different therapies. You guys listening to this need to take action and get your healthcare rebates back from the government. Because it's the government that told the healthcare companies, the health insurance companies, that they can't offer rebate on those, right? So you need to go lobby government. The government or whatever, all those. Yeah. I am not a paperwork person anyway. Go talk to the government people to tell them they can allow the health insurance companies.
And it is something that I weigh up of how far do we get from trying to change from the inside? I mean, how corrupt and how sold out and how much is that influence? I mean, with that NHMRC report in itself, we can see that there was blatant corruption that our government has just gone along with and taxpayers' dollars wasted. I mean, they're very much disregarding what is good for our nations. So when it comes to matters like this with like lobbying and petitions, I mean, I'll sign them when I see them circulating, but I do always wonder, to what end really are we? Is this really a democracy? I mean, I was looking at the changes to the World Health Organization, their website, and, you know, just the connections between the WHO, the UN, the World Economic Forum, who all of these people are not on the side of homeopathy. They've never proven themselves to be a friend of anything along these lines. And they're quite powerful. And whilst I do think that we together combined, you know, just the people, we are much stronger when we are united. And I do think that they have pushed us too far already. Like, people are absolutely revolting, whether they know about homeopathy or not, just in general. I don't think they're going to have such an easy time trying to manipulate us again. But at the same time, if you really keep in the know about all of their moves and things behind, you know, the scenes, the little changes to legislation that they're making, local councils are rolling certain things out. And it really does look at it's a pretty dark future if we go down the path of what these people, and I mean, they're sort of like global elites, really, who think they can dictate to us. They are unelected, like the World Health Organization, the UN, who are unelected leaders, the World Economic Forum, like, we never signed up for any of the trash that you're trying to push through, all of the Agenda 30 things, the smart city things. I mean, we're going down the ways there. But I mean, this is why I take my work so seriously, because it's the time is short and we've got this window right now of people who want change. We've still got the freedom to create. We're not completely under the thumb. You know what Klaus Schwab says, and he says, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, I don't think so. So now is our time to really like rebel and create something better. And that's what they say. You don't want to waste your time fighting the old, just spend your time building the new. And that's where I put all my energy into, like, creation, because if I was to stay tapped in, I think, too much to just all the nonsense, I mean, it would just zap my creative power.
I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I cannot spend energy looking at what's going on in the news or in the world or anything like that. I am solely focused on getting homeopathy. We need the masses, right? And that's why I get so excited when I see you've got 70,000 followers and Jenny Hogan's got 70,000 followers. I saw somebody on TikTok. I don't know who she is, but she's got 100,000 people on TikTok following her as a homeopath as well. Yeah. That is what we need, because when shit hits the fan, we need an army of us standing up and going, no, you're not pushing us around. And the reality is, they can never, ever, ever take homeopathy away from us, because we've got paper remedies. We've got, you know, noetic remedies. We've got our machines, we've got water, you know, like, homeopathy is not going anywhere. It's here to stay. There's literally nothing that they can do to take it away from us. It's always here.
I actually had a question from somebody who was looking to sign up for our 2-year course, and she said, I'm just scared to like invest and study it in case the government makes it completely illegal, you know. And she said, can you foresee like the chance that maybe the government will make it illegal and we just won't be able to practice at all? And I just said, if we get to the point where the government can actually, you know, strip us of our homeopathic remedies and make it illegal for us to consult, you are going to have so many like much more bigger problems going on in your life than just that. So I would not be concerned. That's not a fear that I have. And in some ways, some people are paralyzed by the fear of what's coming in, to the point where they're not walking towards anything new or like exciting because they are paralyzed back here. And I think sometimes, you know, it's a bit of that predictive programming, that distraction that they're trying to speak out all these things over us and like, oh, this is the dark and the gloom that's coming and be scared of this and that. And it's like, maybe it's not really there. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they're not really just hiding around the corner trying to squash us out. It's like, well, we can only wait and see, right? And I think in this lifetime, it's like, I just want to run as far and as fast as I can while still having fun along the way with everyone around me. But I want to go as far as I can until the end of my life. And then we hand it on to the next people and say, right, take it as far as you can, create what you can. And yeah, and it's also energetically something has opened up in this world, like something supernatural. Do you know what I mean? There's some awakening here happening. And I just think it was always like the predestined time. Like this was the time that we were all going to wake up. This is the way we go back to our roots. Maybe this is our 1,000 years of peace incoming where we get to actually live and enjoy. Because truthfully, if you look around, I think 90% of people are not living in joy or peace. It is a struggle. They're surviving. It's just like one thing after another for a lot of people. And that's not how we were meant to live. I just don't believe that we came here for that. We came here to live like free and like full of life. And that's what homeopathy really, it offers people that. If you can break free of all of those shackles and then, you know, add on to that the lack of like, you know, actual physical shackles that the mandates and all of these things that they're trying to force upon us and the interest rates that they just manipulate to make life hard for people. It's like, it's a lot of things, but I think we are going in the right direction. The momentum's going. So I think if anybody's listening to this and they're like, wow, I'm excited. It's like, just jump into the river and come flowing with us. Cause like we're going there ready or not, but it's just, it's a fun ride to be on, to create something. And you know, we threw a party at the end of last year just to sort of celebrate like our first year as a company. And people flew from all over Australia to come to that. And I was like, I was shocked. I thought it would just be Queenslanders, but people flew from all over. And it's that they want to be a part of this. It's like a historic time. And I sort of say that with these people who've signed up to study our course. It's like they write history books about the old waves of homeopathy. And then there was a rising and then da, 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 da. And it's like, this is a rising right now. This is a, like another wave that we will always be able to look back on and say, I was part of that. It was the beginning of like the new age. And I jumped in there and I contributed to it. So I love that.
100%. I feel that. And I am so flying over for your opening party for your clinic.
Yes, please do. Absolutely.
Now, did you ever 5 years ago think that in September 2024, you would have almost 500 people signed up to your practitioner course? I think never. Every homeopathic college around the world right now is like, what?
Yes. It's like I taught online just through Instagram, just through stories. I'd say on average at least 2 hours of teaching a day in terms of like screenshotting tests, just like patient messages to me and just educating about healing. And like, you know, this is what traumatic things look like when they're healing. And like, this is the way that skin heals and just all of these little things that I did as a passion. Like I just loved it. I loved to share. And it was a way for me to get consultations and bookings with people. And that just very slowly built and built and built. And then it was like, yep, that light happened with COVID and then everyone's looking for alternatives. And here is homeopathy. And so I love to share it. Like homeopathy is truly, it's an absolute love of mine, everything about it. And whilst I always fantasized about bringing back a homeopathic hospital, and I did think I would be able to do it, but I didn't know the way in which it would happen. And I guess that's the secret, I think, is staying in that fun flow of the excitement of what you want to create, but not getting lost in the details. You know, 5 years ago, it would have been easy for me to think to myself, oh, no way, they'll never allow that to happen. Legislation will block me, or how am I going to get the money? That's going to take millions, da, 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 da. But if you just trust the process and you keep doing just what you love, and it just flows and like God works out the ways that it's going to happen for you. So it's not our job to stress about how. It's just we hold the vision and we just step towards it. If it had taken me 20 years, it would have taken 20. But yes, we did run very quickly towards this. I'm very excited about where that's going. Can I tell you one other fantasy that I have at the moment? So maybe this is my new creation for the next big thing, because the clinic's done and dusted. We will have that homeopathic center for healing and it will be huge and incredible. But the other thing that I would love is imagine a movie, right? Like an actual blockbuster about homeopathy that like actually shows all the drama. It's like you have like someone cast as Hahnemann, Kent, all of that. And you actually show some of those old cases, the workings of it inside the homeopathic hospital. Oh my gosh, here comes scarlet fever and like the homeopaths have got lines around their blocks. I was telling Jenny about it, that I would so love to see like a well done movie about the drama of homeopathy because it's so fascinating.
Even
it's
better. Like, sorry, Mel. But what about a reality TV show in your clinic? Like a weekly reality TV show. Imagine
like
that.
What if we treated, like, come along with us, like, let's see what's here.
Yes.
Because I mean, they would have those clinics in India, but we're just not in there able to see and perceive like all the miracles there. But people just love to hear like about all the healing things. But yeah, so that blockbuster fantasy, that would be good. It's like Outlander vibes, right? Like, but homeopathy. Mm.
That would be really cool. Would you play Melanie?
No. No, I can't act for anything. And it has to be, I mean, if this is going to be done, it has to be done like so good. Like you got to do homeopathy justice and like
If you have your hand in anything, that's one thing I like about you. You do it with style and class. Like if you're going to do anything, there's going to be style and there's going to be class. Sure it will be. I am really excited for the Introducing Homeopathy movie that Kim Aaliyah is doing as well. I have to say I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I'm just thinking now, reality TV show in your clinic. I mean, like, can you imagine? It'll be bigger than the Kardashians. Which, funny enough, you know, the movie producer that's making Introducing Homeopathy, he used to be one of the film guys for the Kardashians. Gosh. True story.
Wow. Yeah. That's the level that we're at.
It's definitely next level. Tell us just more about the qualification, because people can still sign up, and you've said doesn't matter how many people sign up, you will find enough lecturers and things. So people can still sign up. It starts in September. It's going for 2 years. Who have you got teaching, and how? What's the format going to be like? And what? This tells a bit more about the juicy stuff.
Oh, yeah. So this is the part two that Peter Berriman really is the sort of the director of, and he brought in all these ideas. So he said, you know, for 35 years as a homeopath, he's been fantasizing about a better way to do homeopathic education. So we are starting right from the get-go where people will sit in on a case taking, and then, you know, so they will actually see Peter taking the whole case top to toe, hang up that call, and then we are going to go through the whole process, you know, that a homeopath goes through. But we're going to use that as an education element. So when we're talking about, okay, what is the dominant miasm in this case, and then using that, that's where we go onto our theory and making it super applicable to each case. So that's one element that will be done every week. And then we've got the sort of more traditional, all of the homeopathic knowledge, the theory, the foundational skills, materia medica. But learning in this way, like when we see a case in front of us and then let's say the remedy is coming up, like sulfur, kelp, carb, nux vom, and as a practitioner, actually sitting there and discerning for the real life person in front of you, as opposed to just learning about the sulfur archetype on like paper, really getting to know it over and over and over. And so we think with students seeing hundreds of these cases, they are going to get such a feel for it. I was thinking after, and in my advanced diploma of homeopathy originally, I never saw one professional case taking in 2 years. I was in student clinic where I would have a professional lecturer watch me take cases, but never did I get to watch the pros. And I think that would have been so valuable. What I learned following Peter at Woodford, that gave me the confidence to like get out there. And out of my class at Endeavor, I think there was about 25 of us in that class. Only 3 of us went on to use our degree for anything in homeopathic medicine. And I think that's just sort of highlighting some of the shortcomings of sometimes the courses, but also the support as we lead. People need that community and the support. That's really important to just knock ideas off. And I always had that in Peter. So I would take cases originally when I was really not confident, you know, after having graduated, but still not confident at all. And I would just say to Peter, you know, can we do like mentoring? You know, can I just pay you to go through my cases? And I would learn that way. And what he taught me, that was so invaluable. So when I think about a 2-year course and how can we teach students in the best like way that they will receive it, they will absorb it. It is not about assessments or regurgitating any knowledge. It is about how much do you foundationally understand and show us what sort of homeopath you are. So our graduation requires that they provide a portfolio of, you know, 10 cases they've taken, 2 follow-ups per case. We want to see, yes, ticked off on your portfolio that you have covered all the miasms, potency, posology, all of the typical foundational things. But we also want to fully watch and observe you case taking, all of your notes, your insights. And they could collect a massive folder over 2 years of all the knowledge, all the other short courses they've done and learning in that way. And I found, so it'll be Jean and Peter predominantly. They're the senior lecturers. I still feel like a baby when it comes to, I mean, I come with passion that people are like, I just love learning from you. They say, just when you open your mouth, somehow I understand it. And I think I can bridge some of the more complex topics. Like say, if Peter and I are teaching together, he will say something and I will be able to ask the question or reiterate it to the students where they are just like, yes, wow, that makes sense. And I mean, it helps because it wasn't too long ago that I was a student like them. So I still know like the sort of questions that are going through their minds as we go. But the feedback from our courses so far, our short courses that we've been offering, is that people are just obsessed. Like they have fallen hard and fast in love with homeopathy. They cannot get enough. And they are just like, sign me up. Where can I go? What can I do?
Thanks for money.
Yeah. It's like the world is yours. Like as a homeopath, we are never going to stop learning. So, you know, I used to just refer off to the universities that are there at the moment, which are all, you know, brilliant, and a few of which I have studied at and I love them. But then it sort of came down to it's like there is an element of it's like they've learned from me online for all these years and they want to stick together. They want to be part of our community. And I wanted to bring in the people that I thought would be best able to actually teach them. And I'll be there for the whole ride. But Jean Duckworth, too, absolutely brilliant, brilliant woman. She was a recommendation of Peter because she taught Peter his master's and Alistair Gray his master's. So they were in that group. So she was still teaching. She is still teaching at UCLan and just such a brilliant, organized, legal sort of mind, which is what you want if for like a director of a curriculum. So, and it was the passion about homeopathy. I just messaged her on LinkedIn and I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I was wondering if you'd be keen. Could we catch up? So we caught up on a Zoom and it was like, you know, that passion for homeopathy was so obvious. Like she just wanted to do it. I said, you know, could I pay you to this? She said, oh, we'll talk about that later. Let's get our ideas down and what we're going to create here. So, and I'm so excited that we're all coming to Bali with you. So Jean, Peter and I will all be there.
I am so excited. Like, yeah, just so unbelievably excited. We're going to have an amazing time. That is just so cool. And, you know, just the thought of having like 500 new homeopaths in 2026 just blows my mind. It's just, imagine what we can do. And it's so sad, you know, out of our, we were probably about 20 or 30 as well in my year group. And I think I'm probably one of the only ones that's still practicing. And that is heartbreaking. Why would you spend all that money and then not make a career out of it? Speaking of money, I know your qualification, Switch on Health and CHE and School of Homeopathy, they're all kind of like around the 20 grand Australian to do the course, which is absolutely nothing. I mean, I've heard that apparently at Endeavour, a naturopathic qualification is about $60,000 or $70,000. And I think homeopathy is where the future is lying. 20 grand really is nothing for the best career on the planet that you can practice anywhere in the world. Now, it doesn't matter. You can travel while you're doing it. You have complete freedom. But homeopathy is so much more than that because it's personal development as well. I sometimes feel with naturopathy, it's kind of like going to a doctor by just giving herbs and supplements instead of drugs. Don't get me wrong. I love naturopaths. I've studied naturopathy as well, and I do use supplements and I do use herbs. Don't get me wrong. I'm worried that sometimes there's not, like, I don't know of another profession that has as much mental, emotional, and spiritual and physical support as homeopathy does. It's the career of a lifetime that you have right now. There's no better time to study homeopathy than right this second. And 20 grand is nothing. Like, it's always a joke how little it is considering what you get. I mean, people spend 20 grand on way worse shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even for what I've gotten in my own personal life to look after myself, my kids, my immediate family, that would have been worth. I mean, I studied at Endeavor. I had racked up a $70,000 debt with all of my different studies, not just homeopathy. I had a meeting with a group of people who were potentially wanting to make it a holistic hospital. So not just homeopathy, but also have the other modalities like naturopathics there. And so we're having this meeting and they're talking about, okay, well, we need to find somewhere that can do like the blood tests and the stool samples and all of that locally. And it was so funny. I try not to be a homeopathy snob, but I am, because I do say, okay, but guys, we just have to be aware here that, let's say, for example, you can't be sending people for these expensive stool analysis tests until the homeopath has done everything they can, because so often with these patients, there's nothing actually wrong with the gut and what's in there with the stool samples. You're just chasing it out, looking for the culprit. The truth is that the trauma is contributing, you know, to the parasitic overgrowth or the bacteria overgrowth. I said the child with the recurrent strep cough, you know, we can resolve that. You don't need to be going and doing all of these bloods and expensive testing. So in the end, as I said, look, I think this has to be a purely homeopathic clinic, because I'm too much of a snob to let people, you know, and that's the thing, respect for naturopathics and herbs and like topping up on supplements, but it has to be secondary to homeopathy, which is the true root cause. If you haven't addressed even the generational trauma, well, yeah, you're going to have inflammation and these other things going on. So all these people who think that they are, you know, intolerant to all these foods and they're doing all these expensive testings, and you think, you know, your immune system is just way too fired up, we can like down-regulate that with homeopathy. And you don't need, and these people, you know, I had a patient this year, bless her. She was down to eating two foods. I think for like, it was like over the period of the last 5 years, she was eating chicken breast and lettuce. She was being sent for the most full-on testings, all of that. Her whole body was in shutdown. She just couldn't function. So two foods she was down to. Homeopathic sifalinum and silica. She was doing sifalinum every morning, silica every evening, blah, 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 blah. She messaged me. She was like, I cannot believe it. You know, I've opened up my range of food, but all of these things have changed. And so it was redundant. You know, thousands of dollars doesn't need to be spent on the tests when we get to the true root of it. And now she, of course, is signed up to be a 2-year, you know, homeopathic qualified practitioner, because she's like, I need to bring this to the world because I wish that I had known. And that's where most of us come from. You know, homeopathy saves us from something that we desperately needed and then we can't help but share it with the world. So yes, I do think that homeopathy is the one. It is the most important at the top there. Yes, I'm a snob and I'm biased, but I really do see that it's the core, the true root medicine, all of the functional medicine in the world. Like, it's great, but it doesn't come close to what homeopathy can do.
Absolutely. We just won't tell those people that have just dropped their 20 grand on their course that you then end up getting addicted to books for the rest of your life. Because I'm just sitting there, just these books behind me. I don't know how many thousands of dollars is in that book rack.
Oh, for sure.
But I mean, that's the other thing.
If we can get dispensaries. Our dispensaries are cheap. That's one good thing. We are very blessed that our medicine is so cost effective. That is, imagine being a naturopath and it's like you need your patients to be taking $100, you know, of medication a week, you know, of supplements a week. It's like, whoa, that's a big investment. We are very lucky that our medicine is that powerful and cost.
Well, the other thing is it's economies of scale, right? If we have thousands more homeopaths, our books are going to end up getting cheaper as well. It's always costed a bomb because there's not that many of us buying it. And so the publishers have to charge you, you know, $200 for a book because there's only five of you buying it.
When homeopathy is mainstream again, which is what I see within 5 years, I would imagine it is well known, you know, as well known in Australia as naturopathics, if not more. And so when we get to that point, all the homeopaths around here at the moment who are like, oh, you know, I want to be like busy and thriving. It's like the whole world's about to wake up and you're literally going to have millions of people seeking you out. So you never want to see this influx as a bad thing, because the name of homeopathy will be sort of on high, and that's where everybody really is benefited by it.
Everybody's benefited. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, we were having a conversation. There was a meeting here with some homeopaths a couple of weeks ago, and this one lady who, with all the TGA stuff, she kept herself really quiet and really low. And she said that her business dropped like 50% once the health insurance rebates were taken away, whereas I never noticed any
change in my clinic at all. But there was all operating from that fear mentality. And at this meeting, she said, oh, for the first time in years, my clinic's really busy. I'm like, yeah, it's because the rest, like there's some of us who are teaching everybody how to use homeopathy and getting the word out there. And we're getting so booked up, they can't come and see us. So they will go and find whoever else they can because they want to see a homeopath. And so that's always been the thing. For so long, homeopathy was kept strange and weird and quirky. And, you know, it's that weird thing that nobody really understands. And you have to go see that, you know, 70-year-old man in his musty little clinic. And he gives you these strange white pills in a little brown bag or a little plastic Ziploc bag. And you have to take it. And it was just weird. Like, who works like that, right?
Jenny and I were literally talking about this yesterday and we were cracking up. We're like, what is it about like the older homeopathy? Like, why are they so weird?
Exactly. But people don't resonate with that. But, you know, that's not how we share homeopathy with the world. We share it with the world by not making it weird, by making it relatable. Like, and you know, homeopathy, we've got a lot of jargon in homeopathy, which we can get, you know, we can kind of fall into using that. And so great that you then kind of translate what Peter is saying, because he's been doing it for, you know, 40, 35, whatever years. But you are still, you're still relatable because, you know, it was like 8 years ago or whatever that you qualified and you have little kitties and you're working with these mums. So you use the language that they use and you can kind of, so that's what we need for homeopathy. We need a grassroots movement of millions, preferably billions of people using it that stand up for it. Because I've always said, if the government decides that they want to ban homeopathy and there's none of us that nobody uses it, then nobody's going to care. But if you've got this huge grassroots movement of people that go, a mama bear going, you are not taking chamomilla away from my teething baby. That's what we need. Mel, I really want to talk just a little bit more about your clinic as well. Is there anything else, any other juicy details that you can give us? Any, like, what are your wildest hopes and dreams for homeopathy with your clinic, with the studies for the next 5 years? Like, just tell us what's going on in your head.
I would see it, if I was to be realistic, I think that our clinic will be sort of booked out and thriving by the end of, I'd say we would secure it, have it renovated, ready for students in the next year. And I guess another thing that's really cool that I have brought in as well is that we are going to secure the property next to it, and it is going to act as like a place for the children of the parents who are working, who are interning, parents like me who want to keep their children close, who don't, like my children don't go to school. And so I want them to play with other kids, have fun and learn. Like, we can have a teacher there so they can be, you know, learning and doing fun stuff and outside playing. But I just want them close, you know. And I said in the beginning to Peter, look, you might need to man this homeopathic hospital because, you know, my children are still really young. Like, I'm not going to be there every day working. And then I thought, there's going to be a lot of parents in the same boat as me. And why wouldn't we all go and meet together? And our children can play safely together next door. So that is absolutely going to happen as well.
And I saw the video, the beach is like across the road almost.
Yeah, so it's like a waterfront is not far. There's markets going through there. It's a very vibing, like happy place. My mum, she's a real estate agent her whole life, owned her own real estate agency. I called her and said, where would you open, you know, this clinic if you could go anywhere? And she said, and this is Redcliffe. I mean, it's not really a secret. This is Redcliffe. We haven't fully signed the contract yet, so fingers crossed, but I think all is well. But if not, it would be in that vicinity anyway, but I'm sure we'll be taken to the best property for us. But that's what we're going to do. So once we get that model of care, and you know, that means that we've got student practitioner with us and she's coming over from the States to do a 4-week internship, you know, once this opens and just be amongst it and really meet and connect and greet, because like, isn't that just one of the joys of life too? Like actually having your friends that you've met, like actually close and connect and sit down and have a cup of tea and just be hanging out. Like that's the joy of life. Like so often we're like, you know, it can't just be about like, even with homeopathy, it can't just be working, learning, healing people. It's like, we want to have an absolute blast while we're doing it. So I guess, and I've learned this from my mum being in her business, there is like always a good reason for a party, a social catch up, and this, that. We celebrate like every little milestone along the way, because at the end of our life, it's like all of these little milestones, these were the big ones. So we really, yeah, in our team really honor that. So once we've got that clinic thriving, I think that's going to be booked out. Out of the 500 people who've signed up to study, 105 of them are Queenslanders who are in the vicinity. So you just think there's 100 or more people who want to be in amongst that work. I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know if this place is big enough. So we will just, you know, as things evolve, we'll go on, you know, and we've sort of had people express interest to, they want to do an RMDY collective center for healing. So they're going to be probably called the Homeopathic Center for Healing in each state. And we can all sort of, you know, all be connected, support each other. We can help outlay to like get things started. But then eventually they'll stand on their own feet and look after their own communities. And so, I mean, a fantasy for me would be that we also go all over the world. But Australia, I have a lot of like pride for Australia. Out of the 500, over 300 are Aussies.
It's amazing.
Which is amazing. The rest are typically US, Canada, and a little bit scattered through Europe. But like Aussies, you know, throughout COVID, I saw that the predominant like holistic outspoken mothers, they were in the US. They were who made our homeopathic work like really well known. It was the Americans. So to see the amount of Aussies stepping up and like, you know, to think this is my own country, I'm so excited, you know, for what we can create on our own, in our own country. So yeah, that's sort of how I see things going, and it just being, yeah, just a really vibrant future and a fun future. You know, people, we honestly just do. We need more fun, more connection, and just to have a laugh while we're doing it. The whole world is just too serious. It's too bleak out there. I don't want a bar of it. I want people just to be having fun, and I want to make places where they can find each other. There's a lot of people like me, like you, you know, but some of them, they really struggle to actually find each other in their community. But a clinic like this, it's like a meeting place. I mean, you don't go to a homeopathic clinic if you're not pretty cool, in my opinion. So that's what my hope would be.
Oh, Mel, that's actually a beautiful space for us to finish up on, because we literally could go for hours, I'm sure. And I know that we will in Bali. Like, I'm already stressing that I don't think the 3 days are going to be enough. I think even if we talk all through the entire night, I'm just seeing all of us there by the poolside, like just talking homeopathy nonstop. I just
cannot wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait at all.
Is there any final message that you want to leave our listeners with? How can people get hold of you? I mean, you can literally go Google Remedy Collective, Melissa Kupsch, that homeopath on Instagram, but any other places that you particularly want? And you're on a lot of podcasts at the moment. You were on Melissa Ambrosini's podcast, which I'm so excited because out of 500, actually, I like that your episode was 555. I liked all those five.
A lot of people said that.
Out of all the 555 homeopaths, you were like the first one there. And I just couldn't believe it, you know, that she hasn't had a homeopath on there before. And I'm so glad that you were on there. And did I see you were on David Icke's son's
podcast? Yes. Okay. So, you know, David Icke. Yeah. So Jamie Icke, and he is just beautiful. But David Icke has used homeopathy, you know, historically. I'd heard him talk about it 10 years ago when I was just studying, and I was like, ooh. I mean, back in the day, if you were listening to David Icke 10 years ago, it was like you felt like you were the only one in Australia listening to David Icke. So when he spoke about homeopathy, it's like, oh, I know I'm onto a good thing here, because I respected a lot of things that he said. So yeah, his family is awesome. And yeah, it's just, again, it's like, it's just going mainstream now. It's just spreading everywhere. I mean, in all my podcasts, often I feel like I say the same thing to people because they ask me the same questions. Not this one. This one is totally brand new topics, but yeah, it is funny, you know, just sort of answering those. But yeah, on Instagram is where most of our movement is, our website, rmdycollective.org. But yeah, all fun and games.
And that's the thing as well. It's like, that's why, you know, sprinkle your little bits everywhere. And if you say the same thing, it's totally fine, because different people are going to find you in different places. And that's like, that's also what I want to say to the homeopaths out there, is just get it out there on as many platforms as you can. Just talk to as many people as you can. Just get it out there. You don't know where that person that needs to hear what you have to say right now is going to find you.
And that's the thing. You can't wait until your message is perfect, and you cannot wait until you know it all. I know so many people who are paralyzed by all the things they do not know. My gosh, you know, I've got so many books on my bedside table I want to read, like the homeopathic books. And it's like, speak from where you are and what you do know right now, and it'll always grow and evolve. But a lot of people wait, and they think, oh, someone else is already doing it, or someone else has already said it. But you're going to say it to brand new people. Don't hold back. Just go for it.
Absolutely. Exactly. And your way of saying it. I mean, that's the thing with like Kelly Callahan from One End Podcast. You know, when I was listening to her in like 2018, 2019, she always said, go start your own podcast. If you're a homeopath, start your own podcast. She was like one of my biggest inspirations. And I did think, oh, well, Joey Calabrese is already there, and Sue Mayer is already there, and Kelly. But then I went and did it. And, you know, there's so many other homeopathy podcasts out there. And I would say to anybody listening, if you feel like starting a podcast on homeopathy, go for it. Because
you know, there's somebody out there who doesn't like my accent or doesn't understand me or think I, you know, say too this or that too much or swear too much, you know, and they're going to resonate with you and the way that you see things. And that's the beauty of homeopathy. And don't try and be like somebody else. Be yourself the way that you do it, because there's somebody out there that's going to resonate with you. So that's my final message.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for having me on, Eugene.
Such a pleasure, Mel. Love you lots, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I'll see you soon.
Bye.